read the scripture tonight. Proverbs 31 in verse 10 is where we're going to begin. The book of Proverbs, chapter 31, verse 10. I had something else in mind to preach tonight, but the Lord, I guess you can say, compelled me to come over here and read this. Without a whole lot of other scriptures to read, probably, but just to read this and make a few comments on it. And I am probably, well, I'll say I'm pretty sure that most of you have heard this scripture read before, and you were familiar. Some of you were familiar with it when I called out the chapter, that you knew that it was going to be about the virtuous woman. Now, we have a lot of examples in the scriptures. We have a lot of things, a lot of patterns, and we have a few goals. The main goal that we have in the scripture is Christ. That's who we're to pattern our life after. That's the goal that we're to live and to try to grow toward, according to the Word of God. We're supposed to grow into Christ. While I know that can be done by both men and women, this is a good example of something for a woman to grow into. And it would certainly take growth in anybody's life to come to the place to be this kind of a person. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands holdeth the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Now, as we read this scripture, I've been privileged a few times in life to be able to read this at some lady's funeral. I'm not trying to be ugly or a smart aleck. I certainly probably couldn't read it at everybody's funeral that I ever preached. But there were some women that I felt led to use this, and I felt like that I was justified in reading this scripture and preaching this at their funeral. I've known some virtuous women before. I know some now. And you have virtuous women in this building, this church, and also in the past in this church that have you've had the privilege to sit with here in this congregation that have gone on to be with the Lord because I've known them in life. And we're very fortunate to have people like this that can be an example to us, to be an example to our girls. I'm thankful for our young ladies. I want to just tell you this. This is a place that I read to you that you don't get to overnight. You don't start out, and I know there's some good teenage girls here in this building. I'm not disparaging you in any way. There's some fine young women and young mothers. This is something that you grow into right here. This is something that takes years. This takes years to accomplish, to come to this place that the writer here referred to when he talked about a virtuous woman. The word virtue has two meanings in the scripture. One of them is power, and one of them is moral goodness. And I believe that that is the case of a virtuous woman here. She is a morally good woman. Now, we've got a lot of good advice in here, not just for women and young girls to emulate this type of woman, but we've also got some good advice for young men and also for older men also right here in the scripture that I just read to you. First of all, he said, who can find a virtuous woman? Well, I will say that in the present society and in this world that we're living in now today, it is becoming a harder thing to do. There's absolutely no doubt about that. But you can find them. You can find them. And let me just tell you that there's a way to make them. There is a way to make them. First of all, in order for a young lady to become a virtuous woman, first of all, you're going to have to know Jesus as your Savior. That's going to be something that you have to have. You have to know Christ in the forgiveness of sins. And then to walk a dedicated life, following what the Scripture said. I read in Titus chapter 2, and mentioned some of that here recently about the example that the older women should give the younger women to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, obedient to their own husbands, loving their own children. Also, Paul referred to young widows that what they should do was to remarry where they wouldn't be in the opposite direction, and that they wouldn't become gossipers and tattlers and such like as that. And which he said that would not end up well with them. Now, anyway, first of all, to be saved, in order to be this kind of woman right here, you have to be saved. I know there's a lot of good people that are not saved. I mean, as far as related to me or in my eyes, but there's really not any that can claim that unless they know the Lord Jesus Christ. There's none good, no, not one, is what the Scripture said. And so the very beginning to a virtuous life for man or woman is to be saved. You can't be a really good person all the way through. You might can be good as far as morally and legally, but on the inside where it really, really counts, there's no goodness there, my friend, except for Jesus Christ. That's the only, the imputed righteousness of Jesus is the only goodness that there is inside of any one of us. And so, first of all, to be saved, and then to follow these teachings that's in the Scriptures for young women to do, and point them in the right direction. Now, I don't know the emphasis that's being laid on people today, but we need to emphasize the Bible teachings on the young people and young ladies. I'm not saying that it's wrong for a young lady to get an education and to be able to provide for herself. It may be that she never has a husband and she may need to provide for herself. And that's the truth. And yet on the other hand, I believe that it's good to point them in the direction that they should go. Let me just say this about a virtuous woman. I believe, and I'm going to get to this a little further, I believe a good husband can make also a good virtuous woman. I believe that with all my heart. And I believe that's part of our job as a man. And I'm going to get to that in a minute. But who can find a virtuous woman? You know, I worked with a boy one time. Well, I worked with a bunch of them at Hess in a refinery. I was on a shutdown. And I had to work with different people from different times. And this boy was, he's bad to drink. I don't know that he ever showed up drunk on the job. I wouldn't have wanted to work with him. I didn't really care about it a whole lot. But I had to work with him one morning way up on top of a tower. We climbed way up on top of this tower and was up there working. And we had a little time to get the crane rigged up to haul us up some big valves to install. And we was talking, and he said, "Let me tell you something, preacher." He said, "They just ain't any good women anymore. They hard to find." And I couldn't help it. The Spirit moved on me. And I had to tell him, I said, "No, sir." I said, "I tell you what it is. I said, you're not going to find them in them bars where you hanging out all the time, son." I said, "I'm not saying that a good person couldn't go to a bar, but," I said, "on the law of average, you're not going to find the kind of woman that you need to be a wife out there drinking and chatting and dancing and messing around like you do. And you're not going to find what you're looking for in a bar." He had to agree with me. And I said, if you want to find a good woman," I said, "not all of them there is good either. You might can find a bad one in church." I said, "but I tell you what you do. You go get yourself down to church. You start going to church and quit living like the devil." And I said, "I tell you what, you just might find one that you really need there." And I don't think that he ever listened to me. He had to agree with me because he couldn't get away from me. We were up there. I had a captive audience because we was about, I don't know, about 100 foot out off the ground, and he had to stay. So I got to preach to him a little bit, and I told him what he needed to do. I told him about the Lord too. I didn't just grab him out for drinking and cutting up, but I said, "You're not going to find where you're looking. You're looking in the wrong place. That ain't where you look. You don't go look for a wife in a bar. And young ladies, let me tell you something. You might can find a boyfriend in the bar. You'll find plenty of them. Yes, sirree, I guarantee you will. But you won't find the kind of husband you really want. That ain't where you need to look. You need to look somewhere else. You need to look for a man and not a boy. You need to be through with boyfriends when you get out of school. You need what you need, who you need to marry. You need to marry a man. That's what you need to marry. You need to marry a man. It's a big difference. And a man needs to marry a woman. That's what he needs. And a virtuous woman
My goodness.
Now, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Valuable, oh my goodness,
how valuable a virtuous woman is.
The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. Be careful. Be careful about the grass being greener on the other side of the fence. It might be over the septic tank, the field line. And that's the truth. Be careful about somebody that'll run off with you, because they may run off away from you. Just be careful. Be careful about all that. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. He doesn't need some kind of insurance. He doesn't need some kind of guarantee about her fidelity. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. I'm going to refrain, or try to refrain, from preaching about Abby tonight, because I don't want this to get to be the Bill and Abby show, where all I do is preach about my wife or me. I don't want that. I've been accused one time before at a church. It really hurt my feelings. The word got back to me that the preacher, it's always the Bill and Abby show. And that sort of hurt my feelings a little bit. And so I'm not going to try to do that. Nobody said that here. And I don't think you would. But I'm going to leave Abby alone. If you wonder why that I'm not preaching about Abby tonight, I'm just going to preach about the virtuous woman, and you think you get what I'm saying. I got one, and that's all I'm going to say. And I thank God that I do. God knew what He was doing. Man, I tell you what I could have done. She will do Him good and not evil all the days of her life. She'll do Him good and not evil. You know, I've been studying a little bit about preaching on marriage, and I'm not ready to quite delve off into it yet, but you know what? One of the main things about a successful marriage is honesty and trust. Honesty and trust. You got to be honest. You know what you got to be able to do? You got to be able to tell her things that you really don't want to tell her. And you got to be willing to sit down and listen to things you really don't want to hear her say. But she's got to be honest, and you got to be honest. And then trust. Hey, everybody makes mistakes. We can be forgiven, and the Lord can help us all to move on when we did make mistakes. And I've made many myself. I'm just going to tell you, though, that a virtuous woman, her husband trusts her. He trusts her. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. You know, preachers just preached a woman ought not to work. Let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you a little something. I don't want to work like a woman works. I'm going to tell you right now. And I will say this much about Sister Abby when she goes on a little vacation with her aunt or somebody. I'm subject to whine. I don't listen. Man, you talking about work. How in the world does she do all that stuff? And how in the world do these women do everything they do today? And I just don't know. I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't know. And I do run things around my house. I run the vacuum cleaner, and I run the washing machine. I'm not too good about washing dishes. I do cook. But I'm going to tell you, this woman, she worked. And this woman had her own money. Kind of amazing right there, isn't it? She had her own money. But I want you to listen
where I want you to listen to where her realm is. I want you to listen to where she was queen. And I want you to listen to where her main concern was. Just think about those things. She's like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. That's part of her purview. Now, I've seen men that tried to have their thumb right on top of their wife and tell them every little thing to do. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't know how a woman can live with somebody like that. There's one amen in here anyway. I don't understand that. Let me tell you something. There's some things that belong to the woman. It don't belong to you men. Thank you. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She had women that worked for her. She had maidens. Rich woman. Yeah. She considereth the field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She planteth a vineyard. She was an entrepreneur. Can you believe that? Well, there it is in the Bible. And the Bible's praising her now. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands holdeth the distaff. I may not know everything about that, what those instruments are, but it has to do with spinning and yarn, and it has to do with clothing. She stretched out her hands to the poor. Oh, let me stop here just for a minute. Men, you're not the Lord over God's heritage. You're not. You know what? Your wife just might be spiritual enough and have sense enough to have her own thoughts about something that she feels led to do. And you know what you need to do. Let me tell you this about a man and a woman, and let me move on from here. You know what? One of my main job, my wife's main job is to support me in the ministry. My wife's main job has been to run the house, to guide the house, is what the Scripture said in the New Testament, and to our children, to look to them, and that is her main purview in life. And yet, on the other hand, it is my purview, it is my job, if you want to call it that. One thing is to be the spiritual leader. That's what the head of the house is. That doesn't mean that he rules with a rod of iron and nobody has anything to say or do but him. But it does mean that he is the spiritual leader and guide of the house, and he is to guide his wife into a greater spirituality and a greater knowledge of the Word of God. Have you done that? Is your wife a more spiritual person because of you? Well then, don't poke your chest out too big today. Because that's when you're a real man. Real man ain't how many beer you drink, how loud you can belch when you get through, how many crawfish you can eat. Let me tell you, a real man will lead his wife to a higher spiritual plane. So, I'm going to tell you something. Some of us have got to get up early in the morning to do that, because some of us might have one that's pretty spiritual to start out with. Some of us might have one that's more spiritual than we are. Uh-oh. There I am. See, I ain't said a word about A-B-B-Y. He used her name. So, that's my job. She's supposed to be a more spiritual person because of me. And I realize that, look, there's exceptions to everything. I know there's people that, you know, their wife won't cooperate. They have to be the best they can be in that little place they're working. I know that. This woman right here, there's where she's at. She wants to support her husband, and she's got her own money. And she stretches out her hand to the poor. You know, from time to time, my wife says, you know, I feel led to do something. And you know what I do? Man, that's great. That's what you need to do. Yeah. My job isn't to stifle and squinch and squelch and grieve and quench her. That's the problem with some things. Yea, she stretched forth her hands to the needy. Can I just tell you something? I've preached now for 39 years. I've pastored for 38 years. I've had very little trouble with women in the church. There's always exceptions to any rule. I've had very little trouble. I just thought I'd mention that. She stretches her hand out to the poor. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. I've seen some do so much with so little. I've got to tell a little something about my family. This was bad, but it's funny. We was broke, man. I'm talking about my daddy and my stepmama. When I lived with them, we was poor. We worked. We was poor. The stove we had, and it wasn't just because daddy was sorry. He just got a job. And we was building back up. We was getting to where we could, but the electric stove had one burner on it. My stepmother worked at Movie Star. Any of y'all ever worked at Movie Star? Well, y'all about know what she did. It was tough. And her and her sister, Arlene, would go and work at Movie Star, and she'd come home, and she'd cook. And one day, she didn't have but one burner, so she cooked about three or four evening meals in one night. And Daddy got in there. Me and Daddy got in there and eat all that. We get to eat. She'd come in, and I don't remember what Daddy said to her, but she picked up a pot of them beans and threw them in the carpet. It made her so mad, she walked down the road. And I'm going to tell you, y'all don't, well, some of y'all may know her. She is a humble, meek, sweet little woman. And my daddy stood there with his mouth open. And I said, oh, Lord, we're going to go through another divorce. I'd done been through one when I was 8 years old. And I said, Lord, daddy's going to lose another. I begged her to forgive me. She said, it's all right, son. She said, your daddy knew you wasn't supposed to do that. They got everything was fine. But I'm going to tell you, she done the most with the least I've ever seen in my life. She did the most with the least. Me and Daddy cleaned them beans up, I'm going to tell you right now. Daddy was bad. He kept his mouth shut and I kept my mouth shut. We cleaned up the beans and I asked her to forgive me and I'm pretty sure he did. I appreciate her. Man, I tell you, I've pastored women that didn't have anything, hardly. But they'd make it some way or another. They'd scrabble and scrape. wouldn't complain. You wouldn't hear them complain. They wouldn't run around and walk out in front of Walmart with a sign. That didn't happen. No, sir. She's not afraid of snow for her household. One thing she's going to do, she's going to take care of them elements. She maketh herself covering, and then after they're good, listen to what she's going to do. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Now, she didn't wear a flower sack. Now, this woman right here, if that's all she'd have had, she'd have made her a flower sack and it'd been pretty. But this woman, this old gal had a little bit of money, so she bought her some nice clothes. You know what's wrong with that? Nothing. We may gripe and everything, but I tell you, my wife don't ask for a lot. Something I need to keep my mouth shut about. Anyway,
her husband. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Brother Mike, I'm going publicly, I may have already publicly done it, but I'm going to publicly answer a question that you asked me. Brother Mike asked me, he said, Brother Bill, what percentage of your ministry, he wasn't talking about the Holy Ghost, what percentage of your ministry does your wife contribute? I said, 80%. That's the truth. Yeah, I could preach without one. But if I had one, and y'all didn't respect her, would I be your pastor? I've got a lot of confidence in Enid Church. You know what y'all are? Y'all one of them old-timey churches. And I would just imagine, I know I didn't go through a resume process to come here, but if you'd have heard how sorry my wife was, and she don't help him, you think you'd probably call me. Wife makes a husband, and wife makes a preacher. Same thing. Deacons and everything else. It's in the Scripture. She maketh fine linen and setteth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Gossip, rumor, all this other mess. That's not her. That's not a virtuous woman. Y'all remember that. And you know, girls, you know when the best time to start living like this is? Right now. Right now. Best time. And if you've been raised by parents to be a virtuous young lady, you need to thank the Lord. Now listen. Martha and Mary, you know who I'm talking about? Mary was a woman of ill repute, but she got saved. Mary Magdalene had seven, count them, seven devils. What a sweetheart. I bet you she was something, boy. Seven devils. I've seen some that I felt like had at least one. But seven? And she got saved
And she was the first person to see Jesus alive from the tomb. I know that. But let me tell you something. If you have this wonderful start where you've got a mother and daddy that love you and are concerned about your virtuous life and your virtue, and they're concerned about you, and they won't let you go out dressed just any which way, and they won't let you just go run with everybody, then you need to thank the Lord for them is what you need to do. You got a good start in life. And stay with it. Stay with it. Because I'm going to tell you something. All the loose, that's the only way I know to put it, the loose living girls in your world, you can always be like them. But they can't ever, I'm not saying you can't be saved and be good, but they can't ever be where you're at. Because I'm going to tell you something. They do a lot of things at night. Even some things I'm forgiven of, Brother Travis, that I lay up in the bed and I regret doing. And I was a lost man. I regret it. And I can't undo that. I've done the best I can do with it. I asked God to forgive me, and He did. But it's there, and it's in my mind, and it's hurt other people. So I can't ever undo that. Keep your virtue, young ladies, because you can't ever get it back once you give it away. Keep your virtue. And listen, be patient. Wait on the Lord. God's got you a young man somewhere that'll bring up your Prince Charming. Hey, can you believe that I'm Prince Charming? To somebody. I was Abby's Prince Charming. I tell you, she didn't get much of a prince. She got a frog, buddy. But the Lord saved me. It's hard for me to preach, and it might just have to be the Bill and Abby show sometimes, so just pray for me. Virtuous woman, listen. Listen to this. Okay, boys, I'm on you. It's your turn. Her children rise up and call her blessed. There ought to always be a way that we treat our mother. Always. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Like I said, at least I don't talk ugly about her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor, listen boys, here we go, young men. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. You know why beauty is vain? It's an empty thing because it's transitory. Do you know what transitory means? Here today, gone tomorrow. Listen, I just got to tell you, these girls that I went to school with that was in the class with me, that they were so beautiful. Oh, man, just every boy was just googly-eyed. They were so pretty. You know what some of them, not all of them, you know what some of them look like now? Rough life. I'm not going to say any smart aleck remarks. I'm just going to tell you, a rough life is not gotten do well on a woman. Now, I want you to know, again, I'm going to have to preach about Abby, I guess. She weren't ugly. She was some kind of pretty. I thought the prettiest thing, I'm just telling you, I fell head over heels. She's beautiful. You see, you can't win when you're a man. I said she was beautiful. Now you see, y'all going to think, well, that don't mean she ain't now. I'm just talking about the past. But listen, the Miss Beauty Queen or whoever, she might be a fine girl. Might be just a wonderful girl, but I'm going to tell you what, on the other hand, she might be one of them Mary Magdalene's before redemption.
Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. Look at their mama.
Look at their family. You know, y'all gonna think I'm crazy. But dating ought to be done in the view of marriage. And I don't mean you have to marry everybody you date. But why would you date somebody that you wouldn't even consider marrying? Listen to this, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. We got virtuous women in this church, and I'm so thankful that we have women that is a great example and a great goal for younger women. This takes a little while to work up to. That don't mean you can't have virtue. In fact, you know, everybody that's saved and baptized, you know what we're to add to our faith, don't you? Virtue is one of those things, isn't it? Men and women. So, get busy and work toward that. And everybody will know it. The preacher won't have to stand up and call out names. Everybody will know it. And God will bless you.
Amen. Let's have a verse of a song.